CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Basher with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. We come to news from North Korea. North Korea fired an intercontinental ballistic missile as a warning against continued U.S.-South Korean military drills. The missile was intended to, quote, give a stronger warning to the enemies intentionally escalating the tension, according to the Central News Agency. We welcome David Maxwell of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. David, this warning comes at the same time frame we've been watching Xi Jinping's journey to Moscow and the discussion of more war making in Europe. Is North Korea at this point feeling left out, or is it a button that Xi pushed on his way to Moscow? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening. Well, I think it could be both, but it also could be Kim Jong-un taking advantage of all the distractions that are going on. But I really think that all the provocations and everything that's going on right now is really focused on for two reasons. One, they obviously take advantage of the exercises. It is their custom and tradition that they will always have fiery rhetoric during exercises and accusing the U.S. of hostile intent and preparing for attack. But the other aspect of it is that there's a lot going on inside North Korea. Things are really tough for Kim Jong-un right now. The economy's failed, terrible problems, even feeding the military. And so Kim Jong-un needs this external threat as justification and rationale for the suffering and sacrifices of the Korean people in the North. So he's got to create this threat from South Korea and the United States to justify his military actions and, of course, the development of nuclear weapons and missiles over the welfare of the Korean people in the North.
Gordon, you have a question for David.
Dave, there's been suffering in North Korea since, I guess, the late 1980s, maybe even before that. Do the North Korean people realize that, or is this something which, you know, they hear, they can do nothing about it, so they just shrug their shoulders? Is this propaganda really effective inside North Korea? Because I imagine it must be.
It is to a certain extent, although what is different now is how Kim has exploited the COVID paradox, the defense against COVID. He's deathly afraid of that. And what he has done for the last almost 3 years now is impose draconian population and resources control measures that are taking away the resilience of the population, cracking down on the markets. Those 400 markets that rose out of the famine of the 1990s, when there was tremendous suffering and as many as 3 million people may have perished as a result of the famine, those markets have really provided the resilience for the population. And he has been cracking down on them, the use of foreign currency, of movement, of communications and information. All of that is impacting on the Korean people. And yes, they have shown a tremendous resilience over the past seven decades. Someone once told me that's the miracle of North Korea, that the people continue to survive. However, there is now no safety valve, no relief mechanism that will help the people because even now, Kim Jong-un claims that the candy of humanitarian aid is poison. He's not going to accept outside aid. And that could really cause internal instability. And Kim is deathly afraid of that.
The propaganda includes the claim 800,000 students and workers have volunteered to fight against the United States. And the rhetoric goes, the soaring enthusiasm of young people to join the army is a demonstration of the unshakable will of the younger generation to mercilessly wipe out the war maniacs. I see the North Korean propaganda machine doesn't know about split infinitives. Setting that aside, David, the meeting between the Prime Minister of Japan, Kishida, and the President of South Korea, Yoon, did that frighten Pyongyang? Are they responding to that with this rhetoric?
I think that also is certainly a factor. I think the improving conditions and cooperation between South Korea and Japan, and then ultimately South Korea, Japan, and the United States is something that Kim Jong-un has miscalculated about. His actions are making that cooperation stronger. And of course, that also is a problem for China as well. And so North Korea's actions are driving South Korea and Japan and the United States closer together. And that, of course, improves the defensive capability for all three countries and is something that China has not wanted to happen. And therefore, North Korea's actions are really harming China as well.
Gordon, you have a question.
So, Dave, we're now starting to see these large-scale exercises between South Korea and the United States. I imagine our readiness must be improving across the board. Is that your assessment, or is there something else that we're missing?
Oh, no. Readiness has been improving really over the last year, the amount of exercises that we've been conducting, the interoperability training on multiple levels, air, land, and sea, special operations, and, of course, at the theater level down to the tactical level. But we also need to remember that training is not a one-time event. It must be sustained. And, of course, the Combined Forces Command in Korea has announced 20 exercises that will take place between now and July. They're planning a major live fire exercise in October on the anniversary of the Mutual Defense Treaty. They are forecasting the training that is going to take place so that there's no surprise. And of course, the actions that the command is taking is not in reaction to North Korea's provocations. They are now routine exercises that sustain the high level of readiness. While North Korea reacts to the Combined Forces Command actions, the Combined Forces Command is going to maintain that high level of readiness and will never, ever cancel an exercise in the face of a North Korean threat and its rhetoric.
What is the status or what is the report about the pending or rumored nuclear weapons test?
Well, we've been waiting for a year. That has been everybody's, you know, we've seen preparations at the test site and we've seen this speculation. I am now wondering, though, if Kim Jong-un has not backed himself into a corner. You know, while you have to test your weapons to advance the program, often with tests, there are failures. You know, we've seen a few missile failures, but he seems to be testing systems that already work. And my sense is that he might be worried about conducting a test that doesn't that is not successful. And if he conducts a nuclear test that is not successful, that could undermine his belief in his deterrent capability, that we will not believe he is as strong as he is. And so I think with the weakening military inside North Korea, the conventional military, he has got to show strength with his missiles and his nuclear weapons. But he's had six nuclear tests, and he may have to rest on that as his deterrent. Because if he has a failure of a nuclear test, it could really undermine his deterrent capability.
We have less than a minute. A quick question, Gordon.
So, Dave, Chinese and Russian support for North Korea, up or down over the last year?
Up. Absolutely up. They are defending them at the United Nations. We can't get anything through. They are condemning, the actions and our human rights up front activities. The recent UN human rights event that took place last week, China and Russia are critical of that, and they are coming to the defense of North Korea.
David Maxwell, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, also Senior Fellow at the Global Peace Foundation, Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, writing at Gatestone, Newsweek, and The Hill, and other distinguished publications. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.